Yo, BJ Gador with the Weekly BJ Podcast. My wife, Naomi, joins me today.
Hi.
This is going to be a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable conversations are
definitely
happening
right uncomfortable now. Conversations. You know, it's been the time of recording this. It's been a month since the murder of George Floyd. I made a written statement on Instagram about where I stand on that and where I feel our country needs to go. And I recently posted a photo of a fitness summit by a company marketing themselves as the leaders in the continuing education space in fitness. And obviously that created some reactions too. The reason I posted the photo is because it was a photo of all white faces.
Correct.
And before I get into that, we're going to talk about some key topics today. And I know a lot of people think, well, this guy's just a fucking glorified gym teacher. Who really cares? I will say more and more people have told me that they actually would like to hear my thought on this. I'm a human being as well. I'm a member of the society. I want to see it go in the right direction. I want us all to be on the right side of history. And I feel compelled to talk about this. And I will certainly talk about the space I'm in, which is fitness. I've been in this for 15 plus years professionally, longer as an enthusiast and consumer of it. And my wife also has been in it with me since the beginning, and she's a businesswoman, and she's got a lot to say. She tells me about myself every single day, so I wanted to get not only a woman's perspective, but you know, you've been with me on this ride, so you can fill some gaps along this conversation as well. Go ahead.
And well, I also want to say that I think right away when these topics come up, people they want to run to their camps and they already have their ideas of what they believe. And a lot of it is, I don't want to hear about politics or I don't want to talk politics. And this is not, we're not talking politics. This is just humanity we're talking about. These are just issues of humanity. They shouldn't belong to any party or any political group, right? Equality, fairness, love instead of hate, any of that stuff. That shouldn't even be a purely political discussion. Of course, human nature, we often want to do that. But, you know, I just want to kind of say that up front that this is not, you know, we're not trying to, we don't want people to just run to their corners. This is just a tough conversation. And no one is innocent. No one is.
It's going to be 4th of July next week, the celebration of the independence of this country. A country with a really complex history. It's a great country. But it has, in its origins, some real tragedies that have had an impact to this day. So we got to talk about it. And really, what I hope this is a conversation starter. Like, our goal, I don't want you just to believe what I have to say because you respect me as a trainer, or you respect my wife as a businesswoman, or you respect us for what we believe in. I hope this gets conversations going in your own house. Tough conversations. Again, this is time to reflect. It was Juneteenth last week, marking the end of slavery. All right? There's a lot of key things coming up now. And, you know, I am half white. I'm also half Arab. I have had a very unique experience as kind of being biracial. And obviously, I don't really have an identity, really. I don't have anyone to look to like, who am I supposed to be? I've been able to be on both sides of this. I've benefited from white privilege along the way because I'm passing in a way that my father wasn't, because I'm not as dark as my father. I don't talk, quote unquote, funny like my father because he's from a different country. And go ahead.
Oh, I would say, and on the other hand, you've also been excluded out of things because you're not 100% white and you've battled with that as well.
Sure.
Feeling left out.
Not to the degree that black people in this country have.
No, definitely not.
So, you know, that's the thing. It's not just about saying Black Lives Matter or posting the black square when it happened on social media. Really what it has come down to now, I'm 37 years old. I want to have a legacy in this space. I feel like my body of work has spoken for itself. And I don't want to just be about making money. And that's one of the first things I'll say here is, I'm sorry for not speaking up sooner. I don't come from a lot. Neither does Naomi. I was scared to lose my livelihood by sharing opinions outside of my quote-unquote space. So I tried to stay in my lane. But I've noticed these inequalities in my career, and I committed myself to getting my affairs in order, really getting the money bag in place, right? So that I could say what I felt, speak my mind without fear of losing my livelihood so I can still provide for my family. I've been blessed in that regard. There's a lot of people that might be even more educated than me on this topic that have not been able to be in that position yet because they depend on other brands for money or representation or distribution. And, you know, we've worked really hard the 3 years since we left Men's Health, 3 year anniversary mm-hmm. of having left Men's Health. And we're proud of what we're building. And we've built, you know, we're small time, but we've built an autonomy around what we do now where, you know, even if these people hate us and try to, and they really blacklist us or actively fight against us, they can't really affect our money. Really what it is, it's our customers. People listening to this, you're the drivers of what we do. You've bought into what we're trying to accomplish, and we might lose some people today, but hopefully the people that are with us, maybe you're with us in a bigger way because we're trying to be more than just about the money. And I can't change the past, but I can certainly change or at least be an agent of change for a better future. The second thing I have to say is I spoke for this particular brand over a decade ago. So I have my own personal biases in this. You know, they did not ask me back, nor did they give me a reason for their decision. That didn't sit well with me, but it is what it is. But in addition to that, there's been a handful of their presenters, many of whose faces just so happen to be in the photo I shared, that have actively tried to sabotage my advancement in this industry. And I've never retaliated against them, even when I had the power to do so at Men's Health. Even in sharing the photo, I didn't specifically call out the brand or any of the presenters by name. You'd have to really like do some digging to see what that was. And again, this is just their marketing materials. This was literally a marketing photo of their last event in 2019 and their flagship location where the business is located. And I stated that I do respect several of these leaders, several of these, you know, presenters or speakers as leaders in our field. And they're, at the same time, this brand is not the sole offender. This is an example of industry-wide inequities in representation.
It's the one you were most familiar with because of the history.
I could speak. I saw the inner workings. I was behind the scenes. I spoke there. And then I've seen these guys in action for the last 15 years. So one of the complaints that was made by someone on social media was like, well, this is personal to you. Well, it's like, well, why don't you talk about somebody else? And I'm like, well, I'm not as familiar with them.
Yeah.
I can speak from my own personal experiences, which is what, if you're a trainer in this space, you have to also speak to yours. So maybe you've had different experiences with this brand. Speak to it. I'm sharing my experiences.
Well, and you were just showing an example.
It's an example.
And I think the problem too is, it's not about one person in the picture. It's not pointing the finger at one person and saying that person's racist or that person's single-handedly out to exclude people. The whole point is that all the systems and all the nepotism and everything that is in place comes with a certain result. And if you don't actively try to go against that result and work to make progress, it just reproduces itself over and over and over again. And 100%. People who always have a leg up will have the leg up. And then it means less opportunities for other people who don't have the connections or, you know, we'll talk more about it. But basically, it's a system that lends itself. So immediately people want to get on their heels and say, I'm not this, I'm not that. It's like, it's not about you as an individual. It's about the whole way things work. But every individual has a responsibility to try to make some sort of change in that.
100%. And, you know, all these possible biases being shared, go on to my Instagram account /BJGadour, BJGADOUR, and look at the photo. It speaks for itself. This brand markets itself as the leading continuing education platform in fitness. And they have been, especially when I first came up, there were two brands that you had to get in with. It was this brand and Men's Health. And they had the access, they had the resources. And if you're young and up and coming, their responsibility, I didn't even realize it when I was coming up, but when I just saw a lot of older white men presenting, the impression that gives to someone young is that people of color, women, are really not worth listening to.
They're not the authorities.
They're not the authorities in the space. Though there were plenty of women and people of color who would listen and attend and learn from these people that were on the stage.
Correct.
So that should make you feel a type of way. And by the way, many people in fitness, I get kind of fired up right now about this, We're fucking athletes. We're competitors. We thrive on a level playing field. We want to compete, and may the best man or woman or whomever win. And this is a type of setup that does not encourage fair play or a level playing field. So regardless of your politics or your human right stance, you should feel a type of way about inequity in competition, all right? And hoarding of resources and hoarding of platforms and representation. That hurts all of us. Let's let the best of us come forward through our bodies of work, our consistency, and our impact. And, you know, I believe in justice.
Well, it's just funny to me because if you look at physical culture, that means sports, that means dance, that means, and when I say sports, that could be boxing, that could be football, that could be gymnastics, that could be anything. There are a lot of people of color and a lot of women in there. So it doesn't make any sense that the leading educational body, it just doesn't have that representation, right?
100%.
It just doesn't, there's a huge disconnect. How come the educators are only of a certain ilk? And that also leads to, how can you say you're the best educator when you don't have a diversity of ideas? Because if you don't have a diversity of people and backgrounds, if you have multiple people from the same gym in the country as huge as ours, you have 15 to 20 people, and somehow multiple people are in the same family, the same gyms, and they're learning from the same, you know, the mentor.
Indoctrinated in the same system.
Exactly. How can you it's like going to a school where they only have, you know, you go to university and there's only two professors and their progeny or their people that their TAs, right? They're right away that can't possibly be the full education of physical culture, right? Because like I said, dance is one of the most oldest, most diverse, beautiful forms of physical culture and movement, right? We could all learn from them. But a lot of these fitness educators, they scoff at dance. They don't put it in there.
They're bros with no rhythm or coordination.
Exactly.
So it
doesn't just hurt. If you don't care about race or diversity or anything, you just want the education. When you don't have a fresh blood coming in with new ideas constantly, the scope of the education is going to be shitty, quite frankly, right? I mean, there's so much that we can learn from different elements of physical culture and, you know, breathing, right? We're talking about just breathing. There are people, yoga, right? Like, there's so many different things. And, we've been guilty in our past of maybe scoffing at a type of, like yoga or something like that.
100%.
But then you get over your personal arrogance and ignorance and you learn that you can learn from so many different walks of life. But you have to be open to that. And that goes to show no one is innocent, right? BJ and I, I'm sure we've made mistakes in the past of not maybe taking something seriously or anything like that. But the whole point is to take your ego aside, take a step back, and open your mind to new ideas, new people, new walks of life. It's amazing what you will learn in all kinds of facets of life when you do that.
Evolving. Yeah. That was, part of after these incidents with this brand, you know, I'm like, you know, fuck them. I said, I'm going to go around them. I'm also going to like go over them. And then they're afterthoughts to me. At the same time, you know, the way you treat people matters in the future because what goes around comes around. And obviously they didn't feel great about this because I have more than twice, at least on that platform, I have more than twice the following. Obviously they feel like it's an attack. But at the same time, like, I was like, let me see where they're at. Like, because I feel compelled to use my platform for good since I have not been able to use it outside of sharing the gift of fitness. And I Googled, like, let me see what their speaker lineup looked like last year. This is what I shared is the first image that came up, and it was their last summit in 2019. And it was all white faces, the same faces I saw when I first started back in 2005 in many of the cases, and a few women, and I will say there were more women speaking than there were when I first started. There were barely any women. It was a total sausage fest. They've made progress. And part of the defense that came when they saw, well, what about the Long Beach Summit, which had two black speakers? So this is what's so funny. And again, it's one of those things, I never want to speak on behalf of black people. I'm speaking on behalf of someone who has been supported by the black community my entire career. And it's not only irresponsible, it's also you know, it's disrespectful to me to not step up and speak for what's right in this case, because they've always had my back. And some of our best coaches, trainers, and athletes are Black. So you're telling me they don't, not one person belongs on that fucking stage?
Yeah.
Not one Black person belongs on that stage? And some of the responses I saw with the reasons why there weren't, and the defense of there were two Black people at Long Beach. I'm like, speaking at Long Beach, I'm
like it was a mic drop. Like, whoa.
I mean, honestly, that you're right. They thought, like, oh, that's it.
Conversation's done. Your flagship seminar had none, because that's the flagship one. But you had, and then by the way, the next year you only had one in all of your.
Well, there's the whole thing, right? Their projected 2020 lineup was one Black person as a speaker, so it was multiple steps back from 2019. So again, and then saying, you know, there's minorities that speak, and again, conveniently going to just grouping minorities as anyone who wasn't purely white. Is again very unfair.
You know, the bar kept moving. It was specifically white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. If you weren't now, then they have all these minorities, and it's like, no, you can't keep moving the bar. And right now, just for right now, and believe me, I'm a fucking minority. I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm mixed race, right? Historically, I'm mestizo, meaning that I have generations and generations of mixture. So I can't like go and say, oh, my mom and dad are mixed. My mom is white and my dad's Black or something like that. No, because my parents are mixed and their parents are mixed. So I have indigenous blood, I have European blood, and I have straight African blood in me. So I'm just generations of mixture. But even I know, because I'm racially ambiguous, I can admit that affords me some leeway where someone who is Black does not get that. Someone who is just an obviously Black person, right?
Accepting the privilege of having white in you does not take away from what you've accomplished. And exactly. By the way, both of us are here today because some really good white people funded our educations.
Yep.
Okay, so this is not an attack on white people. It is an attack on the white people that are not willing to look inside themselves and think about the bigger picture of society because they're afraid to lose what they've got. That's what this is an attack on. Because you know what? If you're really good at what you do, and you're about the competition, that is all. America's about competition, right?
It's meritocracy, right? So if it's a meritocracy, a true one, then you want to face the best, right? True competitors. What do you see the best, right? The best competitors, they say, oh, you're going to go up against so-and-so, like their rival. And they go, that's great, because I want to prove myself.
And like, they're going
to
bring up the best in you.
Exactly. And if you lose, then it was a fair and square, the best man won or the best woman won.
100%.
So,
and by the way, we all have the ability now. The great thing about, so in 2005, you had to get on Men's Health or this group to be considered an expert. Now, people can decide if you're worthy of listening to. So,
Social media has its issues, but it has democratized
it. It has.
But to my original point being, yes, I'm a minority, and it's important that all types, you should look at a panel and see all types of people, right? That's what representation is. It isn't like, oh, here's the token this person and the token that person. It should look like a very healthy mixture. So the fact that there, you know, you can point to a couple of other minorities, but you're still not answering the fact that why is there such a dearth of Black representation? It's a very specific thing. And in our country, with our specific history, it does mean something when a Black person is left out. It's a very, very specific history in our country that is different from other cultures.
And you know what's interesting? People. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because again, you know, selfishly, I share this because when I first came into that, I had to experience this to form my opinions. But the thinking of the young uncle baby blowjob, I guess, what would he be? Just baby blowjob.
Nephew baby blowjob.
coming into this to be able to immediately see a problem. And again, by the way, people 5-10 years younger than me, because again,
You've been saying this for years, by the way.
I have been saying this for years, and people know that. To us, yeah.
And to friends and, yeah, stuff
but,
like that.
But I want them to be able to recognize the problem, because here's the thing. When you see those types of faces and you don't feel represented there, you're not going to want to apply to speak there.
No.
You're going to feel like, that's not for me. I have to find another route. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. So it's obviously... And I did not claim them of being racist. I certainly called them an old boys network, because it's exactly what it is.
Yes.
It is nepotism. And nepotism, all right, when your friends are all just like you, it has racial outcomes, whether they were intended or otherwise.
Yes.
That's the biggest...
No one looks at an old boys network and in their mind pops up a bunch of different ages, races, genders. No, you think of a specific type of person in an old boys network, and it's older white men, and they gatekeep.
Yep. And they're not just about, you know, people just like them. They don't like young people.
Yeah.
They don't like the people they're trying to teach. They want to keep them down long enough.
Yep. So that they don't want you to, you know, to get...
To steal their thunder
or get a little proud of yourself. And again, that's not to say, it's like, oh God, you have to keep going back to this, that all white men are like this. Again, if we go back to some of the most important people in my life were, I went to a special middle school, that basically was for gifted underprivileged kids. And you had sponsors who paid your tuition. And the man who created that school was an older white man. And one of my favorite teachers was an older white man. And they dedicated their lives to helping kids become their best self. And basically outreach to make sure people who didn't have the leg up, who didn't have access, felt like they didn't belong, had a place in these societies, in these circles. And that led me on the path to go to a private high school. That led me in the path to go to the number one college in the country. So see what happens when you say, one of the whole responses to this was, well, they don't apply. Like, right? They don't apply. Some statements were dangerously close to they don't want it or they don't work as hard. Very dangerously close to that.
100%.
When you look at, when I was going to apply to, I was a good student in high school. When it was time for me to start applying to high school, I started getting a lot of packets, information from colleges. Why? Because they do outreach. Because they know if they want diversity, they have to do outreach. You have to then work against the systems that are already in place and get to those people. So if you just rest and say, well, they don't do this, they don't do that, that's not a defense. Because if you really care about your organization, diversity of ideas, diversity of thought, and having a true, really good educational platform moving forward, you do the work. You don't just sit on your, you know, rest on your laurels and just make excuses for it.
I want to follow up on that too, because, you know, one of the things that was, so the issue with this, and again, I was uncomfortable sharing it, but I knew I had to. And again, there were some people that I really respected and I've supported for a long time. And their faces so happened to be in the picture. And I'm like, I can't just blur their faces out. That's kind of weird. It's like, what is he trying to hide? Look, it is what it is. I shared it. And one of the things that came back is, well, give me some black names that deserve to be there. And it's like, okay, see, this is what kind of drives me crazy. Yeah. This is what drives me crazy. It's like, well, you know, and I want to, we can touch more on that, but the reality is this was their last event. Your last event of any brand is hopefully your latest and greatest. And it's not just the speaking summits, it's fitness conferences, publications, certification bodies. They proliferate the advancement of older white men at the expense of everyone else. Everybody knows this. Nobody talks about it publicly because they're afraid of being retaliated against or blacklisted. This happens all the time. I'm telling you right now, several of these motherfuckers came from my neck. Not many people can overcome that. Maybe it was luck, grit, combination. I don't know.
And to be clear, because of course, you know, some people come for people, right? It's like, well, BJ must have done something. Like, he legitimately wasn't even on their radar or talking to them. It was just that he was young and he was coming up hot and fast, and I guess that rubbed them the wrong way. Like, that literally was the reason.
And I'm going to give you some examples now, because again, it's not just about the nepotism. It's about the fact that it's one thing to help your friends and people who work at your gym and people that are your family. Look, that happens. It's another thing to try to obstruct people that you view as competition. Mm-hmm. And this happened a lot. And this happened to not just me, people that are actually, honestly, one of the people that have a big problem with what I posted, it happened to him. But he still speaks there because he depends on the revenue you can generate by speaking at that conference. So again, whatever biases I have for being wrong, he has the same biases for the fact that he's making money from them and he's afraid that this might mar their reputation and he might lose a platform to sell his equipment and make money. So again, biases are everywhere. That's why, again, don't take my opinion, don't take Naomi's, investigate. Again, this is especially if you're a trainer, because we have to do better in this space. And we got to think about the younger versions of ourselves coming up. We want them to have access to the best information, the best ideas, all right? And there's a lack of diversity in gender, race, sexual orientation, and ideas. And if you don't want to go to the other pieces, the ideas alone are worth taking a look at. These are dudes that are obsessed with barbells and strength over every other element in fitness. It's short-sighted. It's an imbalanced approach to fitness. I don't support their approach to fitness. All right? And it's the same white faces and the same outdated content. The thing about this, there's no energy. I've been to presentations at this place where the dude speaking, he had no desire to be there. No energy, no passion.
We were actually laughing about it.
We're laughing. He's like, yeah, you can foam roll your quads. He just sat on the stage, had no plan in place. Meanwhile, like,
it looks like he rolls out of bed. And it's funny because you knew it was because he's a shoo-in every year. No one's going to take his spot. He's one of the blessed ones or the knighted ones that's going to always show up as long as he wants to. And that shit makes things stale. That doesn't 100%. Help. That does not help our industry.
One guy contacted Men's Health to try to block me from working with the brand. And luckily, I had already shot the Speed Shred DVD, which became one of their best sellers. So they were kind of already in with me because they would have lost a lot of money on the project.
I think we called them on the previous podcast.
I did, yeah. Again, yeah. I'm not going to give him any name. No one knows who this guy is at this point. Yeah. So no name recognition. But he literally tried to, I don't even know where I'd be had he won that transaction.
Yeah, you wouldn't have. We would have been way behind the ball.
If you've enjoyed my information, this motherfucker may have never made it, so you never got it.
Single-handedly. And the reason was something like BJ was shirtless on a cover of a DVD, like that.
I made that funny video, "Shit Women Say to Personal Trainers," where he's not a professional. We don't want him representing. We want to make professional trainers. We want to make trainers like doctors. You know this motherfucker. His game. Look, one thing, man. I have my wife and I. She's from the Bronx, so she really has it. But we have bullshit detectors like very few people have. I can smell snake oil salesmen anywhere I go. And another guy got upset that there was a competitive product that was offered, and he came out not just to me, but even there was another guy in the fucking speaking circuit itself saying, if you don't get off of this, now it's war. Because he saw us, basically he was upset we offered an online product teaching other trainers about continuing education because he had one.
Because they could be the only ones.
Yes.
And this is what we're talking about, right? They don't even want the competition. They want to stymie the competition before it even gets to them. Because when you're a power broker and you're a gatekeeper, you can do that. You can just stand on the top of the mountain, and as people are trying to climb up, you can just step on their fingers before they even get up there, right?
100%.
So it's the antithesis of competition. Can you imagine? I don't know how many of you are real, like, spiteful motherfuckers, but to pick up the phone, like, you have a busy day of things to do, to take care of your family, do your job, and you think, I'm going to make a phone call to ruin somebody's career today. Have they done anything to me? Have they insulted my family? Have they stolen money from me? No, they just kind of rub me the wrong way. I don't like how fast they're coming up because they're young and they don't deserve it. I'm going to try to completely ruin one of the few avenues. Because again, you have to remember, before social media has blown up with the last 15, 10 years, there was only a few ways to be recognized in fitness. So if you control those two or three arteries, you couldn't just go like what we do now, which is that we just talk directly to consumers.
Yes.
And they can make the decision. So at that time, if you could just like cut off the arteries, you could basically finish someone's career before they even started. So that's the kind of people.
You gotta be willing to really kiss their ass.
Yeah. If you don't kiss their asses, if you don't beg, and if you don't fall in line, and even if you have, some of these people have been such bullies to other trainers online about ideas, right? Like, someone will say, I believe in this kind of training methodology. And they don't even like disagree in ideas. They'll like personally call the person out and insult them personally.
There was one guy they would call butt boy.
Butt boy, yeah. So.
And that, a lot of homophobic connotations there.
Yeah. So we're talking about that level of vindictiveness in people that are the gatekeepers of the educational resources for trainers, right? Because these conferences, what they are is if you have a certification, you have to get CEUs, continuing education credits, right? So you have to pay to go to conferences or buy certain books, and then you get credits for that. You submit it, and you keep your certification alive and active. So these are basically the people gatekeeping the education, and the next generation of trainers. Thank God for social media, for all the bullshit it's put us through, that we can at least find different avenues of education. There's so many more ways to educate yourself now as a trainer.
And these fucking dinosaurs refuse to use social media. So again, part of the thing is too, like, they're already, the ship is sinking, It's just now, like...
Slowly. It's very slowly. It might take 10 or 15 years. Exactly. But if you don't... It's like if a telephone came out, right? And you were using telegrams, and you said, I don't believe in the telephone. It's like, you better believe in social media if you have a company now. Like, that's just... at least a national company, right?
Yes.
You got to change with the times. That stubborn bullshit doesn't fly. And that's where a lot of the talent is. So if you refuse to look for new talent through the different mediums we have now, that's on you. Again, it's not, you had mentioned, you know, the whole thing, find me three black people. Well, first of all, we don't have binders of black people. You know, remember binders of women? We don't have this, like, sitting here. And it's also not any, are we on the fucking, is BJ on the fucking payroll?
No, and it's certainly not the job of the black community to give you names. You have to do some outreach. The best organizations recruit the best talent. Yes. When I said that to this individual who had a problem with it, his response was, well, there's an intense application process. Let me tell you their application process. There was one guy that circuit. There was really one.
Okay.
And this is from the mouths of a handful of people that speak there. You got it. This guy, coach, quote unquote, has to approve you. And when I identified that, I found a way to help him. I made workout soundtracks for him. I know how to speak this language. I went through college preparatory schools. I know how to play the game because I was put into it. And because I had helped him, he allowed me to be able to speak there. And in the moment that he didn't like that I wasn't fully serving him, or he felt like I was being too competitive with him, he fucking cock-blocked me. All right,
and it's not just this industry, right? It's all over. I'm sure some of you listening are in a different industry, and you're probably like, God, that sounds a lot like X industry I'm in, right? Power brokers just want to maintain their power for as long as possible, and then the people they let in are the people that are going to help them do that or continue doing that for
them. When I spoke for them, there was no application I had to sign because I got the one guy that really mattered to tell the head of the organization, you should give this guy a shot.
Yeah, maybe.
So right or wrong, I benefited from that process. But so this intense application process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it exists now, but it's just funny because I keep seeing the same, when you only have X amount of spots for the whole country and a large percentage of them are taken up by the same people year after year, it's not really a good application process because there's almost no slots left.
And then a couple of these key faces you see every year, not only in some cases, they got their wife to be able to speak, and then they got trainers that are under the tutelage of their system. So again, their particular approach to fitness, indoctrinated in that, those are the people that got new speaking spots. Maybe they applied, but you're telling me from that fucking gym, three or four people deserve representation. They're getting their results are that great in that gym. That three or four people from that gym.
In the United States of America, the country with often some of the most gold Olympic medals. I mean, like, we have a lot of physical culture and fitness talent in this country. There's no way that one local gym is going to have five of the best people in the country.
Old Boys Network.
And what does that produce? It produces a lack of diversity in almost every aspect.
And again, it becomes extra offensive and almost criminal in some ways when you actively try to obstruct the advancement of your peers.
Yeah, even outside of it. So like, fine, this is your organization. You put your stake in it. But now you're going to reach out and try to hurt people outside of that. It is a level of malice that, I mean, a lot of you are hard workers, right? Because if you follow BJ's shit, I mean, that like, you must be a gangster.
Oh,
right?
Man,
like,
anybody who does these workouts I've been doing for the last 6 months... Woo! You're a sick fuck.
Yeah.
I got respect for you.
I mean, just think about doing that to someone. Even like hardcore people, it's not about even competition at that point. Again, it's just hindering competition. It's stifling competition because a real competitor says, let's go head to head. So, I mean, it's just fucked up. So it's just like, it's funny that it's like, oh, this is vindictive or something. And it's like, no, because everything we know about this process points to that picture. If you didn't have a problem, there wouldn't be anything, you know, it's just like, oh, it's playing gotcha. Well, you wouldn't get got if there was nothing to get.
And you know what? Optics matter. And you need to be judged by outcomes. And one of the things I've said, well, you don't even know what they're doing behind the scenes or what they're trying to do. Again, all I can see is the outcome. And their last event, it was, I saw a couple more women. But in 15 years, not much had changed. And the same key faces that I've identified actually as somewhat evil people in our space. Because again, it's not just about them hoarding the power. They're going to try to take people down that can compete with them because they know, because you know, honestly, here's the thing. They don't look the part. They don't look the part. That's why they can't compete on social media. Okay? They can write the emails and do stuff behind the scenes. And when you speak, once you're on stage, it doesn't even matter.
Suddenly you're an authority.
Yeah, you're giving them the authority. But they don't like the fact that someone can have a brain like them, possibly smarter. I did go to better school. Sorry. Okay? And then you can look the part, and you've got energy, and you've got passion for what you're doing. You're not actually cynical of the space. A lot of these people are very cynical of the space. So it's just one of those things. When you're actively trying to stop other people and you're hoarding power,
you deserve to be called out.
And still, no names have been spoken. You're going to have to do your research. You have to have experienced yourself to know who we're talking about. Or even the brand. The brand name is not even on this. People won't even know what...
No, you have to be... This is really for other fitness professionals, right? Like, you might just think this is, like, hot tea if you're just, like, a regular fitness consumer. And that's fine and well. But it really matters when this is your industry. Because you've either been a victim of this, or you just give a shit, right? You want things to get better and for your industry. And it's just, when you see this stuff, it should kind of rub you the wrong way.
And the first thing that they'll go to is, and this is where it becomes systemic. They're like, they'll question the education of people that are trying to get on because they didn't go through the same educational process. Look, I'm not classically trained in this. I'm the first one to say I'm a savant. Okay.
You're an autodidact. People, some of the great minds have taught themselves.
Exactly. I've lived it. I've learned my, I did get certified by the leading certification body, but by the way, that's just a continuity program. And by the way, you have to go to these events to get CEUs or continue education units to maintain the certification. You have to pay every year to keep it. So again, these guys are all working together. And you can't get CEUs except at certain places like this type of event, which features these types of speakers. So you can see the systemic problem. And when they go, you have to be a PhD. You have to be a degree in exercise science and kinesiology, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a lot more to this than just your education. Classically, there's the motivational component, which, by the way, these people suck at. One of these guys had his system indoctrinated at the gym at Men's Health. It only lasted a couple months because it was so fucking boring, okay, that they couldn't continue with it. So again, it's not just about what you read in a biology book or exercise science. There's so much more to this. I have no problem with getting a traditional education. The school I went to was liberal arts. It was number one in the country at the time. Okay, so I'm not totally stupid. But, you know, they didn't have exercise science. So I had to teach myself. And I'm one of those people that I don't like the traditional way of doing things. I want to make my own way in this world. That's just who I am. And so maybe there's an application process. I know there is, but I question its authenticity because really what this is, there's a few people that can make or break you, and you better be willing to kiss some serious ass unless you can find autonomy in your career, which is why I advocate trainers finding whatever way they can to make their own money and own their own shit so they can't be, you know, held down by these traditional power brokers. And it's getting so much better. This is... I'm among the first generation in the fitness industry that if you really hit it at the right time and worked your ass off and got lucky, because again, luck is required.
Yep.
You got to get a couple bounces in the right direction. You can own your own stuff. It's just like musicians when they first started making their own labels. You know, they don't have to be held to the traditional record labels that would give them, you know, a fraction of the profits and be beholden. People couldn't release albums for 5 to 10 years because a record label felt way about. So this is the whole thing. It's not just fitness, it's everything else. And again, there are intended or unintended racial outcomes of this. And the same thing applies, by the way, for gender and sexual orientation. And it gets especially offensive when it comes to ideas. Because if you're about academia and scholarly work, you want to get as many different minds to the table as possible so people can choose their own approach to fitness, not just the person who literally what they're there to speak and they're to sell you on their certification so they can brainwash you in their ideology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, Naomi, let you finish up your kind of final points here, but you know, really the bottom line with this is, you know, you need to really think about the brands you support and associate with moving forward. So if you're going to speak inside and outside of fitness, by the way, but you know, I think one of the individuals felt this type of way because his face was in the picture. You're the one who chose to speak there. I didn't take the photo. This is literally a picture of your marketing materials at your last event. So you got to think twice about speaking for them if they're not willing to make some changes. And obviously, based on what they were planning to do for 2020, some serious steps back.
Also, it isn't about you.
It's not about you. No one was attacking you. Nobody called you out. Your face was there.
And you're not a victim in this situation.
Yep.
You're not a victim of this gross inequality that has perpetuated for a long time. That doesn't mean you're not a hard worker.
Nope.
It doesn't mean that you don't deserve to be there. In fact, it was the caveat was that many of these people deserve to be there.
100%.
But when someone else's problems are called out, it doesn't mean your problems don't exist. And it doesn't mean that their problems, that pointing out their problems invalidates yours or your stature in society or anything like that.
And you got to figure out, do these brands, do they stand for your values? Do they appear to be on the right side of history? We've all got to make some really critical decisions of what type of country do you want to live in moving forward. The reality is, even if you don't like the way things are going, there's been a tipping point at this point. You've got to learn how to live. We got to learn how to live with each other. Okay? We've got to learn how to live with each other. And, you know, maybe you provide constructive feedback if you really care about these brands and you feel like, you know, they can change and make positive, move in a positive direction. You know, you reach out to them and you speak your mind and you see if, you know, if their reputation isn't beyond repair, that's fine too. I don't really care particularly how this company does long term. You know, it's one of those things like if me sharing that creates positive change, great. If they don't change at all and it speeds up their decline, great. I don't give a fuck.
The irony is if this makes them change, you just did them a favor. Though they might hate you forever, but
because there's no speaking engagements this year, they can literally not. They've got the year to change
it. They've got the year to change it. And these things long term are going to make them so much better at what they do as educators. And for the next, you know, the Zoomers coming up, they're really not going to stand for this shit. So if you want people to attend your shit that aren't like 60 years old in the next 10 years, you know, you better start making some fucking changes and be relevant.
And by the way, you know, if you have kids, we're talking about possibly your kids. These are the people that will affect the careers of your children. And I know you want your kids to have a level playing field. And you know, with all this, by the way, you've seen it with all these other brands, the way they've responded to the current climate, you know, and the reason is because consumers are speaking up and they speak up with their dollars. And that is what causes change with the old guard. So one point, because again, as a half white, I have to call upon my fellow whites to really dig deep. Now, a lot of this is digging deep into your own education and learning, reading some books, watching some movies. It's all over Netflix. And there's the next couple weeks, dig deep. Okay. And I want you to ask yourself, start empathizing in a way that you have never done before. Because we have to create this change. We have to hold people accountable. I know this makes you feel uncomfortable. I know that it makes you feel like, well, what about me? Well, am I going to lose? Am I going to, you know, because there's a privilege that comes with this. And
I'm not a bad person. I'm not a racist. But you don't have to be. It's not about being a racist, right? Because if things are already in place and we don't question them and you just go with the flow, you become part of the perpetuation of the way things have always been.
Yes.
Even if you don't mean to. So unless you actively step outside and make and kind of if something is like a ball is rolling down a path, you kind of have to like poke it to get it off the path that it's always been going on, right? And get it on a new. That's the thing. You have to kind of agitate things a little bit.
And you got to have tough conversations with people you love. You know that's and I wanted to let Naomi kind of finish with this with what to kind of expect in this situation too, because one of the individuals that just really felt the type of way about me sharing that picture had all the telltale responses of someone that was, and it was interesting too. He started to get into fights with black trainers who were customers.
Who were very politely saying how they felt, and there was a lot of defensiveness.
Not only were they paid to attend this particular form of conference, and they also were customers of that person's business, and they more intelligently and unemotionally responded, and he came back with emotion, very defensive. And go ahead. Because this is what you'll experience and things to look for when you know, okay, maybe this is someone I can't.
This person's not ready. So there's an acronym called DARVO. It means deny, attack, reverse, victim, offender. And some of you might have heard this before. It's often in situations of abuse or dealing with narcissists. And the caveat is not to say that everyone who does this is, it's just a common way when you are faced with an unpleasant truth about yourself or, you know, accused of something and you either are not ready to acknowledge it or maybe you're the type of person who always has to have the last word and can never be wrong. You can't just say, oh, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, right? So you're going to do these strategies. It's like once you see these, you see them all the time in people. Like I'm going to do a side version of it, right? Say you find out your spouse is cheating on you and you have pictures, for example, but you haven't showed them yet and you bring it up. Well, the Darvo, deny. I'm not cheating on you. I love you. How dare you? How could you accuse me of such a thing?
In this case, it was look at Long Beach where there were two black people.
Let me go for a second. Then attack. You show them the photos and you say, well, actually I have evidence. And then they're going to go, you invaded my privacy. How dare you? What is wrong with you? Right? They're going to turn it around on you. Reverse victim offender, you know, or the other thing they could say is you didn't love me enough. You weren't a good spouse. That's why this happened, right? Because now they're caught. Reverse victim offender, suddenly they, at the end of the conversation, have turned themselves into the victim. You were not a good spouse. You lied to me behind my back and got these pictures taken of me going into a hotel. And they're doing this, and a lot of times it works, right? The person will start to feel like they're the bad guy in the situation. So in a Darvo, so in this situation or whenever you're confronting these types of issues, I'm going to go through the Darvo of what we experienced when we called out what was a very specific thing. Look at this picture. Look at the numbers across all of your presentations and look at the numbers of representation, right? Particularly black people. There's only one this year and there were two last year. This is a fact. This is indisputable. The appropriate answer, in my opinion, is, man, I didn't even realize, you know, like, oh, we thought we were doing well, but maybe we have to look back and look at our processes and revisit it and come back and maybe be more proactive and change. Two sentences. Most people would be happy with that. They just want to be acknowledged and recognized, right?
Though we're trying. Obviously, we have to try harder because this outcome is unacceptable because in today's age.
It's not that we're racist, but that when you have always seen things a certain way, it's sometimes you miss the obvious.
And we've been so white and male for so long, it's hard to get people to apply because they feel like, what's the point?
So now I realize, oh, in order to be anti-racist, not just not racist, anti-racism means you have to act against the basic huge snowball that has been going on for hundreds of years, right? The momentum that already exists. You have to do things to work against it. So things like outreach, having someone do outreach into your community, into those communities, look on social media, see who the talents are, ask them to apply, right?
And to say we don't recruit, by the way.
Like, yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, like
Alabama, why do you think they win national championships? Yeah. They go out and find the best talent in seventh and eighth grade.
The top college, and you can't say, oh, you're too good for that. Harvard freaking recruits. All the top colleges, they recruit. They send out materials. They try to get applicants because you're never too good to recruit. So, okay, so now Darvo. So you point that out. This is, guys, you can do better than this, right? But it hurts to hear that because you're not a racist. So now you feel like you're being called a racist, even though no one did. They just pointed out the obvious. So you're going to deny. Look at Long Beach. Like, you think this is a mic drop moment. There's two people. Oh, we have an Asian here and we have a Latino here, right? And then someone says, well, with all due respect, that's just not good enough. And we're talking about black people right now. And you've only had two this year and you have one next year. So now they're going to go to the attack mode. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you give me the names? Why don't you get them on the circuit? And it's like, well, that's not my job. We only have 10 to 15 people. We can't do it. Well, that's funny because you're asking me, one person who has my own business,
to do it. I found that so funny, though, because they're like, it's a business of only 15 to 20 people.
Which is a lot. I can't imagine. That's a lot of resources.
You could have one person dedicated to this as their entire job. But
in the same sentence, turns around and tells this individual who has their own business, their own lives, to do the work of that organization, right? No, it's on you. There are, and there was a lot of, you know, tell me how to do it. What are you going to do to make this circuit better? And it's like, well, am I on the payroll?
I don't care to make it better.
No. And it's also, it's not on the people who are the victims of it, right? Telling the black people to take care of it. It's your organization. You are responsible. The buck stops with you. So stop attacking the people that are calling it out. Because there are men, and then also saying, telling you, making you do all the labor, right? Saying like, so then tell me how to do it. And it's like, do you have eyes? Can you read? There are books, there are documentaries, and you have the money to hire a consultant. Yes. A diversity consultant. These people exist. If you really cared, you'd look into how to do it your damn self and stop telling other people to do the work for you. Unless you want to hire me, maybe you can take me on as a consultant, all right?
I have to add a couple more points to that. Because part of the thing, too, is what they'll do, they rotate in a couple new spots each year.
Yes.
Those people get
the worst time
Sunday
slots.
Afternoon. All right? And they're not getting additional, most likely getting additional marketing help to give them a legitimate shot of having a good performance. Because, again, what they say it's just about really just selling equipment. But it's their first time there. They don't have like a regular audience, like someone who's been presenting for 20 years there, and then they just rotate you back out.
Yeah, they're like, they set you up to fill, right? This reminds me of like when they would say, oh, you can't have black leads in movies, they don't sell. Well, then they actually started doing it and they had to eat crow, right? Because Black Panther came out and it was a huge success. Get Out was a huge success. They said NFL coaches, oh, they're not intellectual. They're not cerebral enough to be coaches, right? Ignoring the fact that the whole...
Black quarterbacks. Again, it's a history. It's a right? history.
There's always some excuse that it's on them. It's their fault. And so I lost my train of thought. But basically, like, stop. You have to do the work in your organization. It's your responsibility in your organization. Otherwise, you're going to get called out, and that's on you.
Furthermore, I get a lot of young trainers asking me, what certifications do you recommend? What event should I go to learn? And part of me sharing this, too, is I don't recommend these types of places. That's important. I don't, because in their current state, I don't recommend you go to learn from that type of organization. Mm-hmm. So, again, it goes beyond just... what's right too. I get it. I care a lot about the future of this industry. You know what? And I hope in 10 to 15 years that younger trainers who I've impacted remember that I was trying to make, hopefully for them, a more fair level playing field. And then when I'm old and ugly and no one wants to listen to me, maybe they can take care of me.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. But I think it's important to point that out too. This is beyond just pointing out inequities. There's young kids looking to learn, and these are the organizations that are being put in front of them, and they have problems.
Okay, so let me finish here. So that's the attack, right? It's suddenly flipping it on you. How come you didn't do anything? It's like, hey, I have my own business. I'll do my stuff in my lane, but this is your business, and unless you're gonna pay someone to do the work, it's not anyone's job to do the work that your organization should be doing for itself. And then reverse victim offender. So suddenly, they're going to flip the switch. This is a gotcha moment, right? And it's like, well, honestly, I don't think it's a gotcha moment because there was no, like, trick question.
But in order to get got, you got to get got.
Yeah, you had something had to be have gotten, right? There was nothing to get. If he looked that picture up, or he looked up out of curiosity, I wonder what the summit's doing, and it was like a beautiful cacophony of people, he'd have been like, oh, well, shit, I guess they fucking did it. But they didn't. So you got because there was something to get gotten, right? And then I have black friends. Oh, come on. This is 2020. Don't give me that shit. I mean, do I have to even fucking talk about I have black friends as an excuse? And then I'm a minority. And then this is just rich because if you are not black, honestly, just shut the fuck up about that. Really, you don't know what it's like to be black. Like, that really got me heated because... now you're just like, this is when you're acting desperate because I don't want to get into that person's like ethnicity or anything like that, but you're not even close to what a black person is and what they've experienced. And now it just sounds desperate and it sounds like you just are so desperate not to concede or give an inch or just be wrong that you're just going to dig in and you're literally clawing at desperate arguments. And then this is a vendetta. So now they're the victim of a vendetta. And it's like, you know what? We've already put out what the reason, like how we feel or how BJ feels about this shit. But there was nothing in that thing that was a vendetta as far as he didn't say, oh, I'm going for this person or that person. Names were left out and it really just spoke for itself. And all the points that we just went through that never actually addressed the original issue was all deflection and all shirking responsibility. And I might add the person who most was kind of coming for it. I don't even think they're responsible for a lot of these decisions.
They don't work there. So
I think they just felt the type of way that they were in the picture and they felt like it was about them. Well, it's not about you. It's about the many, many people who never get a platform or voice to say things. And this is something I want to say this because we only have a few minutes left, but this is something that BJ won't say for himself because a lot of things will be said like, you know, I'll hear a lot of, oh, well, you know, so it's so easy to point things out on other people. But I know for a fact that throughout BJ's career, whenever he could, he has tried to elevate people of different backgrounds. A conscious decision.
That deserve it, but...
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. No, we're not talking about... This is not about handing out lazy people things just because of the color of their skin. It's seeing raw talent or cultivated talent and saying, man, but I feel like they're being overlooked, right? And just a few examples of that.
Well, I don't want to give examples because...
You don't want to take away from my body of work,
speak for myself. And honestly, I wish I could have done more. There was one specific example at Men's Health that haunts me to this day where I for sure saw that there was a racial animus that prevented a contributor from becoming an ongoing contributor that would not have been applied to someone if they were white. And I was not, I couldn't do anything about it. Maybe I could have done more. I was worried about losing my job. And I try to support that person and make it up to them whenever way I could since. It's very difficult.
It also wasn't in a way that was, you know, black and white, for pun intended. But
in most cases, it isn't. And that's why
it's not so easy to say something or fight against it and have a case, right? So if you don't have the power that, you know, to make the decisions at the top, then a lot of times you are impotent, right? So... But my point being, like, this isn't just, like, for fun or for clout. Because, honestly, it's way easier to just, like, sit on your ass and not say shit.
And this, by the way, will cost me... Because these guys are... They're sponsors. They work with Gatorade. They work with Nike, Reebok. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these... Again, I'm not currently working with them. And I have no plans. Because, again, we make our own stuff now.
Yeah.
Okay? I went to the next level. All right? I was trying to go to the Jay-Z route.
It's like the song. The song from Big Baby Drum.
Yes. I had to get it myself.
Yeah.
And if you're a trainer in this age, you got to get it yourself too. Because you don't want to depend on these motherfuckers because they can turn on you at any moment, the moment that they feel like you can get in their way, you can take away from their plate. But I do feel that, because I believe in justice, when I see someone that can help my space who has not been given a place at the table, maybe they, and again.
And it's not that, it's like, wow, this person's amazing. They just need me to reach out and pull them up, right? Instead of that whole analogy, if they're in the end of the cliff, instead of stepping on their fingers, like some people do, to just reach out a hand and just give them that little boost because they climbed all the way up. They're almost there. They just need that little boost to get over that ledge that seems impossible. And you reach out a hand and you help them up instead of stepping on their fingers.
And by the way, if you treat people like shit, sometimes it comes back. Karma's a bitch. So, you know, my pat, if I did any of this to other people in the past, maybe it comes back to hit me in the future. But I've tried to live a career and a life where, you know, I'm not perfect. But I have never tried to obstruct someone's career. Okay. I mean, it just blows my mind. And, so, you know,
and there's, you know, of course, I'm sure if I look back 10, 15 years, whatever, in my past, I'm sure we've all maybe said or done things, but the point is learning, opening your heart, opening your mind, and just evolving. It's not about being a good, you know, oh, this person's a bad person because they did this one thing or that, whatever. It's just about stepping outside of yourself, opening your heart, opening your mind, and it's okay to look in the past and maybe feel a little shame of things you've done or said, as long as you try to improve yourself. A little shame is okay. Yeah, that's what makes us better.
If you live a long life, it's hard not to look back and think of, like, there's some things that I've said or have not considered that make me hate myself, especially when I was, you know, high school, college, first couple years in the business. Like, you know, it is what it is. You know, all we can do is grow, evolve, and be on the right side of things. And at least once we learn the mistake, we don't make it again.
We don't proliferate
the inequity or... the problem. And that's where, you know, I feel called to action and I had to say something. I really appreciate you being here, Naomi, to give your perspective. And, you know, again, you guys can look at the post on Instagram, but ultimately what I do challenge everyone, especially if you're white, especially if you're white like me. And again, I'm only half white, but I call my fellow white brothers and sisters to really dig deep and learn more and get the education that we may not have gotten fully growing up, to understand like how difficult it is to be black in this country, because history matters and it sets people on a path that makes it almost fucking impossible to not only like get a place at the table, but once you're there, you can't make any fucking mistakes, and you got to be the best at what you do just to be at the level of people that have been there forever. So I love you guys. I hope, you know, if we lose people today, it happens. We love you just the same. For those that have continued to support us, you mean everything to us, and hopefully we can move ahead and have a brighter future. Peace.
Bye.